So, biblical love in action. You can find that on your notes. And I think, I don't even know, is that what it's called on your notes? Okay. It's been titled different things, different places, so I always have to ask. But let me start us with prayer. Father, for many of us, coffee was not enough this morning. We're tired. We're weary. So we need your help. As we get to spend a little bit of time thinking about your hesed, and then once we've been standing under that waterfall, how do we live that? I just need your help. I thank you that that's what you're like, and because that's what you're like, you delight to help us. And so we ask for your help. I pray that through even this morning, we would gain more of an appreciation of your love, and that through the help of your Spirit, you would grant us more of a desire to live that out as well. Thank you for Christ who makes it all possible. Amen. Okay, in a previous year, we did a session on the Hesed love of God and its counseling implications. That's a topic that is near and dear to my heart. If you had to ask me, do you have one favorite word in the Bible? I don't know, it probably depends on the day, but most of the time I'm going to say Hesed, because that's such an amazing truth. So we have a couple podcast episodes on that as well, referenced at the end. So I'm not going to do that whole session, but we do have to talk about what it is, because this session is, what does it look like in our lives? So to just review a little bit, what is Hesed? It's a Hebrew word, so it's in the Old Testament. The concept is still in the New Testament, but it's in Greek. But the actual word is translated 29 different ways in the Old Testament because we don't have a word that says it. So when you see faithful love, steadfast love, sometimes mercy, compassion, all kinds of things, many times that's going to take you back to the word Hesed. In the session I did, we looked at it, especially in John 13, which is Greek, not Hebrew, but the concept of what it is. And there, the bottom line was, what did we see in Jesus the night before he was betrayed? And you go through that passage. He loved first, he loved most, he loved sacrificially, and he loved to his own hurt. That's what Hesed is. And that's what God is. Michael Card wrote a book called Inexpressible, because it's a word that's inexpressible for us. And this is his working definition. When the person from whom I have a right to expect nothing gives me everything freely and because it pleases the one who gives it. I like that because sometimes I think we can think God loves me because he is love and he has to. But to understand he loves in this way freely because it pleases the one who gives it. There's an affection. He wants to love you. He goes on to say this again and again. Just when a multitude of characters in the Bible realize their own inadequacy, their own sin, just when they realize they have a right to expect nothing. Can we all just admit that takes a while to get to? Like first we're like, I know I'm not perfect. His love takes me over the top, but he's probably pretty glad he picked me. And then you have those moments where you're like, I got nothing. I was counseling a precious woman recently, working through some things, and an area of hidden sin was exposed that affected some other people that she loved. And she looked at me and she's like, what do I do? Like, I hurt them. And in this situation, there's no, well, at least they saw I was trying. I'm doing my best. Got like, she was aware. I could just see it. Like, I have the right to expect nothing from them. And I said, actually, that's where we're all supposed to live every day. God has just allowed you to be somewhere where it's in technicolor. So this is not a bad thing. But we have to get to that point. So I love how he says in the Bible, they go through, and then at some point they realize they have a right to expect nothing. What happens in that moment? He says, they receive not simply a second chance, Isn't that what we think? Well, all right, but do better. But they receive everything from God. And then he says, a new age of trusting the Lord is born. It's true. He also says this, the great surprise of the Hebrew Bible is not that God is awesome or holy. These characteristics we would expect from God. The great surprise is that he's kind, that he's a God of hesed, one who delights to give everything to people who deserve nothing. That's a surprise. The Bible Project has a video on hesed, and I appreciate their definition. I mentioned this before, I'll just say it again. I mention a lot of different people, I benefit from a lot of people. Always use discernment, I don't agree with everything. This particular video I found really helpful. They define hesed as a loyal love. And again, it's not enough, but here's how they go on to define it. Love, generosity, enduring commitment, promise-keeping loyalty, motivated by deep personal care, not conditional, an expression of the giver's heart. I loved just thinking about this. Recommits himself to people who don't want to be committed to him. That hits. It's not recommits himself to you because you're really sorry and he knows you're going to try. How about I will recommit myself to people who don't even want to be committed to me? That's hesed. That's unbelievable. So clearly it's first shown by God. Delighting to give to people who don't deserve it. And even when he's giving, they don't appreciate it. But out of his affection for them, he delights to give it. And as people who have received and are still receiving this love, we have the privilege now of extending hesed to others around us. So, if in the other session that I taught on it, and I do recommend this, do not start with, oh, I need to be more like him. How do I do it? Well, that is what we're going to talk about this session. But before you do that, spend some time just standing under the waterfall of his hesed. We're much more comfortable going, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? How about just stand for a minute and go, that's how he loves me. Not, that's a great thing to teach my counselee. Oh, that's good for my kids. Oh, my neighbor needs to hear that. That's all true. It is good news. But you know what? It's actually true for you, which you heard with the meditation. That's why I'm memorizing, sort of, but not really, praying in the mornings, Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. Not really memorizing it because I'm trying to do it as a prayer. Why? Because I don't live out of that. I need to slow down. We talk about in the other session why we're uncomfortable with it. One of them is we so attach performance to love that when we acknowledge that we're loved like that, we think we're saying I'm all that. When we're not. So I have to separate that and then just appreciate it. So in that, what ought to come after that, which we're not doing, but I'm asking you to, if nothing else, listen to the podcast on hesed. But then we should be saying, God, I am amazed that you love me like that. And oh my word, you've given me the privilege of being a shadow of that. How can I live in a way that people better understand the concept of that love because they saw a shadow of it in me? What does it look like? We frequently talk about the love of God and how we need to love each other. But I am concerned that we don't really understand what biblical love is. And therefore, our applications are all over the place. For instance, I love my friend, so I get her favorite meal. And that's fine. It's better than getting her a meal you know she hates or is allergic to, right? Sure, that's fine as far as it goes. How about I love my friend, so when she gossips to me about her husband and she's really angry, I get her favorite meal.